We're going to turn in the Bible. We're going to turn to 2 Kings in chapter 6. And we're going to break into the reading in time of the great prophet Elisha. 2 Kings in the chapter 6. We're going to break into the reading at the verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 6 and the verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him off, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. And I pray the Lord to bless the reading of his heart, or to his word to all of our hearts. Tonight, I want to speak tonight about a prayer for a young man. A prayer for a young man. Here's what we find in our text in the verse 17 tonight. Now, no doubt about it, each one of us knows tonight how important prayer is to the Christian. You only have to read church history. You read of men like John Wesley and Samuel Rutherford and John Fletcher, and there were men who every day spent hours on their knees before God. There were men who would rise up even at about 3 o'clock in the morning and get alone with God and cry to God with all of their hearts and bringing all of their burdens and all of their needs and crying unto God that God would hear them even in heaven, hear their prayers and their petitions. The greatest missionaries have been men of prayer. And when you read the Bible, of course, you see that is true of the men of God. Take, for example, Elijah. Elijah is known as the prophet of fire. He is known by tradition as camel knees. Not because he looked like a camel, but because of his roughness of him, because he was always a man who was upon his knees. And James over there in the book of James, when he wanted to tell us and instruct God's people how to pray, and he looked throughout the Old Testament for one whom he could pluck, one who could bring before us to teach you and I how to pray, well, he picked this man, Elijah. Because Elijah was a man who cried, he was a man who prayed unto God. You see that in James chapter 5 and verse 16. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And he tells us about Elijah, how this effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, he was one who cried to God. His whole heart was in the prayer. And he was down before God in the time of famine, in the time of drought, in the time of a great need. In the land of Israel, there was a man called Elijah. He got on his knees, and you know, he cried to God, and God heard him. And here James tells us about this man. Elijah was a man of prayer. Not a bit of wonder the one whose mantle fell upon was Elisha. I have no doubt about it, Elisha knew Elijah. Knew about his life. Knew about his holiness. Knew that he was a man who sought God. One who prayed, because we find in the very life of this man Elisha that he was one who prayed. There was miracles wrought by his hands, but he brought petition after petition to the God of heaven, and he prayed for miracles, and he prayed that God would raise the dead. He was a mighty man of prayer. But I think of us tonight that we can bring our petitions to the Lord as well. Elijah did that thing. So did Elisha. So did others in church history. Whatever the need was, they brought their petitions and they brought their needs to God, to the very God of heaven. And if it's daily food, we can bring our different needs to God. Do we need protection? Do we need strength? Do we need revival? We can pray. Do we need people help who are sick? Well, we can pray. Do we need God's blessing upon his words? We can pray to God. Do we need souls to be saved? We can always pray. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we sang about at the very commencement here of our service tonight, about take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, Elisha was such a man who prayed. He prayed for miracles, and here we find him praying for a man, for a young man here at this particular time in the verse 17. And Elisha prayed. Here's a man at the throne of grace. Here's a man going to bring his petition to God. But what was the petition? He says, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Here's a prayer for a young man from the mouth, from the lips of Elisha. Open his eyes that he may see. Over the weekend, I was over in Castlewell with the young people. They do say, of course, Castlewell is like heaven. Now, you all know that one, you know the punchline, but I have two punchlines because there's no night. 5:30, I was getting to bed. But there's another reason why it's like heaven, because of the blessing of the Lord. You'll never believe the blessing it is to go to be with the young people of our church. Of the Free Presbyterian Church, young people who would give their testimony and tell of Christ. There were young people who were singing. And there was about, I was counting there before, I think there were 5 meetings on Sunday. I never heard one of them complaining. And boys were singing. I was nearly deafened, I tell you, deaf by the noise in the room. And they were singing. This was about 11 o'clock at night. And we just had been in meetings for 2 hours a few times during the day. And the young people here tonight, he was at the meetings, and Thomas and others here, Stephen and that, and it was a real blessing. So I said to you, it's a bit like heaven for 2 reasons. There's no night, but you know, what a blessing to see our young people. Sometimes we can be very hard upon our young people and look at our young people, and yet I feel tonight, as I came from that meeting, I wonder what I pray, and I thought of this here about praying for the young people. There are many things to pray for, of course, as I've already said in our introduction, but there are many things to pray for. But here's Elisha, and he's praying to the God of heaven, and he's praying for a young man. And I'm sure tonight there's somebody in your heart, your family, a young person, a son or a daughter, but whatever it may be, there's a young person that you can pray for. We need to pray for our young people of the Free Church and of this particular church here in Kilkeel. We need to pray. And I want to notice 3 things about this prayer for the young man of Elijah. I want to notice, first of all, the aim of his petition. Now, that is very clearly set out before us. He is praying that his eyes may be open. Lord, open the eyes of the young man. That is very short, very plain, and straight to the point. Elijah cries to God that God will open the eyes of this young man. Here's a young man in darkness, in a sense. He does not really see what is taking place around him. All he sees in verse 15 is this great host of Assyrians, and I no doubt it scared them. As you see, it did scare him. In verse 15, And when the servant of the man of God, and as that young man was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And he looked out, and there was these horses and chariots and a great army, and there they were all around them. And Elisha was surrounded, and so was this young man, and he was in darkness. Here's a man, he's all he could see, this physical presence, but he couldn't see the spiritual realities, the spiritual beings that were all around him, you see. He was in darkness. He couldn't see these things. Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And I think tonight we need to pray, Lord, open the eyes of our youth. There are many of our young people in spiritual darkness. You have young people brought up in this church, in Sunday school, youth fellowship, come to the meetings, and tonight they're not saved. They're still in darkness. They're still in their sin. They do not see the very seriousness of their sin. They cannot fully see that the reality that they will lose their soul, that there is a Savior. And I believe tonight that we should pray for our young people. Lord, open the young man's eyes. Open their eyes. Let them see the danger that they're in. Let them see, Lord, that they're lost without of Christ. Open their eyes, Lord, open their eyes. That's all he prayed. That was the very aim of his petition. That the Lord would open the eyes of this young man. And we know tonight that everybody else in this world, brought into this world, that it's, we're in darkness because of the devil and because of sin. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And there are people tonight in darkness, and they're held in darkness, and it's the work of the devil. And the devil is holding them, and the devil is stopping the very light of the gospel shining into their hearts. But you and I tonight need to pray. Lord, open the young man's eyes. Open the young woman's eyes. Whatever that may be in your heart or your family tonight, and the young people that have come to our church, they are in darkness. Lord, open their eyes. Maybe you have a son tonight and he's in darkness. Maybe you have a daughter tonight not saved. Well, we need to pray, Lord, open their eyes that they may see. And this is what Elijah's praying, of course, with different reality, but to do with to see God's power up. But nevertheless, we have the spiritual lessons about praying for a young person. Lord, open their eyes that they may see. See the danger. See their sin. This young man, in particular, he was in darkness and he was in distress as well, because if you hear the tone of his voice in verse 15, alas, my master, what shall we do? And this young fellow was in fear, because in verse 16, fear not. This wee fellow is maybe at the point of desperation, and his heart is full of fear. And he's saying to Elisha, Elisha, what are we going to do? He is full of distress. He is full of trouble, this young man. Elijah says, open his eyes. Lord, open the young man's eyes, you see. The word of God reminds us of another man in distress in Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer who came out trembling. And he says to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? He was in darkness. He was in distress. He needed to have his eyes open to know what the way of salvation. And I believe we have young people in distress and troubled that you and I know nothing about. We all have done it in the past, haven't we? I was convicted of sin for 2 years and nobody knew. And young people's very good at hiding it, you know. Troubled about their sin. Troubled about their soul. Troubled about things in life. The young people have many problems and they just need perhaps someone to help them. Someone to give them guidance. Someone to lead them in the right way. And I believe we need to pray for the youth of our congregation. Lord, open up their eyes. Our young people tonight has troubles. And they have tears. And we know nothing about it. But God knows. In distress. The fellows, young ones, gave their testimony over in Castle Wan. One young man who gave his testimony was one brought up in a Christian home. They wandered far away from God. His mother had died when he was young, he was telling us. He ran away far and farther away from God. And one day he saw that he was lost. See, God opened his eyes. And he showed him the way back to Christ. But he was troubled. And he was troubled for perhaps a year, he said. And there are people in distress and they need help, and they need people like ourselves to pray that the Lord would open their eyes. That's the aim of it all. And open their eyes also to show them that deliverance was near. His young man was trembling. He was troubled. His heart was full of fear because, as I have said, Elisha said, "Fear not." Perhaps a young fellow feels at the very point of desperation. Elisha says, "Lord, open the young man's eyes. Show him that deliverance is near." And you see that in verse 16. "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Show them, Lord, everything's alright. Show them that they are all around us. Show them that will help us. Just open his eyes to see it. Show it to them. And I believe we need to pray that for our young people and members of our family circle, that the Lord is near. This young fellow didn't think that, of course. He thought it was just him and Elisha. But show them that God is close by. We have a Savior who loves them. A Savior who's only a prayer away. If they'd only lift their heart, if they'd only lift their lips, open their lips unto Christ, in the very moment Christ can save them. But they need their eyes to see this. In Romans 10 and verse 8, "For what saith it? Thy word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and thy heart is the word of faith that we preach." In their mouth. Christ is just a prayer away. The very aim of this prayer, that their eyes may be open. And I've no doubt there's a father tonight can pray this for their children. There's a mother tonight can pray it for their daughters, for their sons. There are probably children here tonight can pray it for their parents. Lord, open their eyes. We need to pray for the youth of our congregation, that the Lord will open their eyes, that they will see Jesus. That they will do that. Here's Elisha praying, a prayer of a man of God, a mighty prophet. But listen, taking time to pray for a young man. Let you and I do the same. Let us pray for our young people of our congregation privately. And even in our prayer meetings here in the church, let's lift them up and let's pray. Even tonight in this meeting, wouldn't it be good if we pray for our youth, for the young people of our congregation, lost without Christ and without hope, that this would be our petition. There's nothing fancy, there's nothing complicated with the words here of Elisha. Simple, straight, to the point. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. That's it. Lord, open their eyes tonight. Will your eyes even hear? May God open their eyes. You see the aim of this prayer. I want to think about the acknowledgement of his prayer. I believe in that he acknowledges here the foolishness of the servant. You see, the protecting angels of the Lord were there all the time, but he couldn't see them. All this young fellow saw was darkness. All he saw was danger. But the protection and the safety that he needed and the help that he needed, it was there all the time, but he didn't see it. What do you think of Hagar? In chapter 21 of Genesis, we find her in great distress, out in the wilderness with her son. And the hot blazing sun, and on put him under her bosom. It says in verse 19, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the water, the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink." But the well was there all the time. But it tells us this, the Lord opened her eyes. The Lord opened up her. There's the well of water. There's what you need. It's all beside you. But they couldn't see it. And as you and I view our congregation, do we not see the foolishness of our young people? How foolish they are to run after sin. That which will eventually destroy them. We see how foolish they are to hear sermon after sermon and turn their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, who would save them in a moment. What foolishness. What folly. Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes. We acknowledge that. They are, in a sense, living in the light of spiritual teaching and preaching. We hear sermon after sermon from different preachers. The Reverend Patterson preaching here on Sundays, preaching the gospel, the way of salvation. And yet the foolishness of our young people, how they go on and on and on without sin. And that shows our foolishness. And he's showing here in his petition, Lord, open the young man's eyes. He's acknowledging the foolishness of the servant. God would not leave Elisha. God would not leave even himself to the hands of these wicked Assyrians. Open their eyes. I think there's another acknowledgement here in this petition. The weakness of the saint. Notice he cries, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. Now you think of Elisha. He's confessing here before the Lord that he cannot open his eyes. That he cannot take this young man out of this darkness and bring him into spiritual light. And he's saying before God, Lord, I have not the ability, I have not the power, I have not the power to open this young man's eyes. I can't do it, Lord. He says here, I pray thee, open his eyes. You can feel here that he's acknowledging his weakness before God. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Because, Lord, I cannot open this young man's eye. This young man had great blessings all around him. He had the very presence of the prophet of God. He had the prophets preaching. He heard him preach the word of God with great power. He had the prophet's power to do great miracles. He saw him doing great miracles. But he couldn't open his eyes. He couldn't open his eyes. And he says, Lord, I pray thee, open the young man's eyes. He's acknowledging his weakness here before God. And how this reveals our own weakness. As you and I would bring this petition for our young people tonight, we feel like Elisha. We cannot open our eyes. There's nothing I can do, and there's nothing that you can do. Our children that have been brought up in Christian's home and has been taught the word of God from their mother's knee and heard sermon after sermon and gospel invitation after gospel invitation and pointing them to Jesus Christ to come to him. Well, I can't open their eyes. And you cannot open their eyes at all. We acknowledge that before God tonight, our weakness. Because if I could save souls, if I could open eyes, I would do it, and so would you. But we cannot do it. In John 1, verse 12 and 13, speaking about salvation. But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And there John is telling us right from the very commencement about being born again and being saved. It's not of blood. It is not of the will of the flesh. Neither is it the will of man. There's nothing I can do, and there's nothing you can do to open your eyes and save our children. And save our youth in this congregation. And so we acknowledge our weakness, Lord, you open our eyes. I pray thee, open the young man's eyes. Open his eyes. We acknowledge that before God even tonight. See, it's Spurgeon says, no matter how bright the candle, a blind man sees none the better. No matter how it is, how bright that candle, you can bring the greatest light before a blind man. Doesn't help him one bit. We cannot open their eyes. Do we not need a prayer that God will do it? He's acknowledging the weakness of the saint. He's acknowledging here the greatness of the sovereign. Lord, I pray thee, you open his eyes. This young man will remain in total darkness if you do not open his eyes. He was humbly trusting the Lord to do this wonderful work in the life of this young man. He's confessing the greatness of God, that alone, Lord, can open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes. And you and I pray such a petition for our young people. We're saying, Lord, only thou can save them. We're acknowledging his foolishness. We're acknowledging in our dispensation our weakness, but we're acknowledging the greatness of the Lord. Open their eyes that they may see. Open his eyes. Do you think of someone tonight who you know who's in sin, who you love with all your heart tonight, a son or daughter lost in sin? You pray, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Because you cannot do it. And I cannot do it. But I'm glad we know one who's mighty to save, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save. He can open her eye. He can save her soul. He can take away all of her sin. And here's Alicia, and acknowledging in this petition, and acknowledging the three things that I'm saying, he's looking to God. And know with you and I tonight in our prayer meeting, that we are praying for our youth. And the Lord will open their eyes that they may see. See the beauty, the love and mercy that is found in Jesus Christ. I want to look at the answer to this petition. You see in verse 17, and I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. Excuse me. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And here's a man crying unto God, Lord, open his eyes. And what does this say? And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. That's what happened. That's what happened when Elisha had this young man upon his heart, this young man who needed help. He says, Lord, open his eyes. He says, the Lord opened his eyes. God answered. And there we have the might of the Lord in that great answer. A mighty demonstration of the power of God was seen in the life of this young man. In darkness, now he's in the light. Now, what was the difference? Why is it this young man? One moment, there he was in darkness. There he was trembling. There he was in fear. Now, he's in the light. He's brought into the light. What brought him into the light? It was God. The Lord opened his eyes. There you have the might of the Lord in the answer. In Acts 26 and verse 18, Paul was speaking about the wonderful working of salvation and the tremendous thing to be saved and to have God's salvation. He said in verse 18 about his ministry, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Oh, Paul is telling us here about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when someone gets saved, their eyes are open. Their eyes are open from very darkness to light. Oh, the might, the power. It's in the salvation of God. Oh, we pray tonight that our sons or daughters will be opened. Would it be wonderful tonight if you and I were at home and while we're here, God has opened our eyes before you get home? You see, there's power in the blood of Christ. There's mercy with the Lord, and the Lord opened his eyes. Only God can do it. To think of the mercy of the Lord also in the answer. It was only the mercy of the Lord that he answered such a request. That's why we do not see Elisha demanding such an answer. You see the words where he says, I pray thee, Lord. He's humbly submitting himself to the very will, to the very mercy of the Lord. He knows nothing else. Nothing else will open this mouth. Nothing but the very power of God. But nothing but the very mercy of God. He's depending upon God's mercy. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. But we know tonight there's nothing but mercy will save our young people. There's nothing but the mercy of God will save our children. I can't demand that God saves them. I can't demand that you cannot demand that God will save your children or the youth of our country. We just cannot demand. But we just, I pray thee, Lord. We're depending on mercy. I'm depending on mercy of God for my own soul. And we're depending for this same mercy, the same mercy for our very children, that they may be saved. Lord, we're saying, have mercy upon our youth, have mercy upon them. That they may see. In Micah 7 verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Here's the prophet talking about the greatness of God, about his pardon, how he pardoneth iniquity. Because why does he pardon iniquity? How is it that God forgives sins? Because he delighteth in mercy. And the Lord answers our petition. We have to remember it only happens because of his mercy. And so there was the mercy of God even in this answer. We do not deserve answers to our prayers. How cold they are, time, how sometimes they're full of unbelief. You know, I need God's mercy to answer my petitions. And so do you. And as we pray for our youth and for other members of your family, whoever that may be, open their eyes. We're depending upon the mercy of a wonderful God who had mercy upon you and I. You think about the moment of the answer. He says, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. In a moment, as soon as these words seem by the reading here of the divine inspiration of the Bible, as soon as Elisha had prayed, Lord, open this man's eyes, immediately, God just took the scale from his eyes. In one moment. He's in darkness, now he's in the light. The moment and the answer. And you can see it over in Mark chapter 10 about blind Bartimaeus and came to Christ. He says, the Lord says in what verse 51, Mark 10, what will thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, those are the words, immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Immediately, this man, who was in darkness and had sat in darkness for many years, immediately, the Lord gave him back his sight. And notice what he did. He followed Jesus in the way. And that's what we want with our young people, of our congregation, and for our family members who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord would open their eyes in a moment. In a moment. Salvation can take just a moment. Just one word from the Lord. Speak, Lord, and it shall be done. That is what we're saying tonight. As I have said earlier on here in the sermon, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to go home tonight and for those that you've been praying, for those that you have wept over, that the Lord has opened your eyes. And you know, when I hear the testimonies for young people in Castle Well, I encourage you, parents here tonight too, as children not see it. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven who hears, you know. And we've heard it before, people phoning their family who's away on holiday in Spain, and they phone with a message to tell them that we're saved. Can that happen? That was a real surprise to the parents, wasn't it? Just to say that. That young man I told you about, and lived in great wickedness and great sin, into very witchcraft. Brought up in the free church. And the drugs. But in a moment he was saved. Tell, that was good news, wasn't it? That's the sort of good news we'd like to hear, isn't it, from our family? The phone would ring to say, listen, I've got news. I've been saved. You go home and their eyes are opened. They've come to Christ. But listen, we can pray this. Here's encouragement for us to keep on praying for our sons and for our daughters and for our young people of the congregation. The Lord can see them in a moment. Can I say last year, very quickly, the very motive of the answer? You can see it in verse 17. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He saw the power and the glory of God. That's what he saw. How great was his God. Oh, he looked upon the Assyrians. He saw the host of the Assyrians. He saw the soldiers, their weapons, their shields, the horses. He saw everything about them. But here he saw the glory. He saw the glory. And that's what we want with our young people. And you know where you'll see the glory and the power of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where you'll see it. That's where we want the gaze of our young people to fall upon Christ. And that they will see Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and they'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb and the love of Christ. And I think, dear parents tonight, That's the desire you have for your children. If I give a verse to my children when they're growing up, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Man, there's always been, man's been, even to this day, I have no other asset. No greater joy. And you have no greater joy but to see your children washed in the blood of the Lamb and living for Christ. No greater joy. And I'm glad over the weekend we had the joy of seeing young people standing up and singing for Christ and testifying for Christ. It was tremendous. But we want to see all our children in the congregation. Their eyes open. Their eyes open. And you remember that invitation tonight of Elisha? When times are hard and difficult, there's a God in heaven whose ears open. There's a God in heaven who has power to open up the very eyes of our children. There's a God in heaven tonight who has power to save our young people. And that's what we want. We thank God for our young people of our congregation who came to the weekend. And for those who didn't, of course, but going on with God. And that's encouragement to us. That's encouragement for our congregation to see young men and women who love Christ and follow Christ. Pray for our young people. It's a difficult world. They're living under many temptations. Pray for them. Pray for those who are saved. That God would open their eyes to see the dangers of this old world. And pray for those who's not saved. And the Lord will open their eyes. And they'll see Jesus. What a day it was in our life, wasn't it? The day we came to Christ. And the burden of our heart, it rolled away. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake.